utter the words stop motion amidst a gaggle of geeks, and one name will bubble right to the top. Ray Harryhausen. He is a legend among us, the teeming masses of sci-fi buffs, who will, to this day, drop everything for 118 minutes on a Sunday afternoon if the original Clash of the Titans is on TV.
How may a mortal man face and defeat the Kraken?
Mighty Joe Young, The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, Jason and the Argonauts, Clash of the Titans. Today on Sci-Fi Idols, let's talk about Ray Harryhausen, shall we? In the 1930s and early 40s, model animation was a small world in more ways than one. Willis O'Brien and George Powell, groundbreakers in the field, would each cross paths and employ a young man who would go on to change the field and become more famous for it than either man. 1933's King Kong, created by the father of cinematic model animation, Willis O'Brien, or Obie to his friends, was the fuse that set off a young future animator named Raymond Harryhausen. He first saw it one afternoon at Grauman's Chinese Theater, and the 13-year-old boy went on to see the film several more times. The film clicked for him, and he knew what he wanted to be. That same year, he began building his own creatures, such as a cave bear, which he shot on 16mm in his backyard, and a stegosaurus, which won him a prize from a local museum contest. Ray eventually wrangled a meeting with Willis O'Brien after a friend said, "Just call him." O'Brien offered critique and encouragement, and it wasn't very long afterwards that Ray found himself working for George Powell on Powell's Puppetoons, a sort of stop-motion cartoon. Powell would, of course, go on to produce a seminal film version of War of the Worlds, making use of miniatures and model animation techniques, something Ray had always wanted to do himself, going so far as to actually shoot a small scene on his own at one point. And you may recall the science fiction league from an earlier episode. Well, in 1939, Ray joined the LA SFL, along with his childhood friend Ray Bradbury and a new friend who would go on to chronicle his work, Forry Ackerman. And then, yes, you guessed it, as also in previous episodes, war intruded. But in 1942, young Raymond Harryhausen secured a spot working for Frank Capra, that was then Colonel Frank Capra, who had left Hollywood and headed a special services film unit from the Army by way of a short film he'd done in a camera class at Columbia Studios. He worked at numerous on-set jobs for Capra, but was also animating shorts demonstrating concepts to GIs in his spare time. This all undoubtedly helped Ray in later works, as he did various jobs including camera assistant for Capra. Harryhausen often worked alone or nearly alone, not only doing the animation but also running the camera and generally doing everything. Not always, but he seemed to prefer it if he could. After the war, it all came together. In 1947, he landed a job with O'Brien, working on Mighty Joe Young. Harryhausen ended up doing a great deal of the actual animation on the film while O'Brien supervised shots, setups, and planning. He went on to call the chance to work on this film the biggest event of his life. This was the man who'd inspired him to come to the craft, and here he was working on an ape film with the creator of King Kong. And it won an Academy Award, so Harryhausen's star was clearly in ascendancy. Along the way, he learned the techniques employed by O'Brien and others in model animation films and became adept at doing any job required during the process. He ended up doing The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, based on a story by his friend Ray Bradbury, by himself, a feat that would be unheard of today, but that was Harryhausen. And it was a hit as well. Harryhausen was established as not just an animation assistant, but an animator in his own right. In the dawn of the golden age of stop-motion animation, inserting live-action shots of actors into miniature scenes was accomplished using numerous techniques. Rear projection match shots, the Williams process, the Dunning process, early bipacking, and other traveling mat techniques. Double exposure, rear projection, Linwood Dunn's new optical printer, and miniature rear projection, a literal miniature projection screen in amongst the miniature set, showing live-action frames that's advanced at the same rate as the model animation, a technique developed by O'Brien for King Kong. Putting the actors into the scene was hard work, and lighting was, as you can imagine, crucial when matching the actors to the miniatures. Some of you have already figured out where this is going. Harryhausen turned the idea around and decided to work on a process for putting the models into live-action scenes versus putting actors into the miniature sets through process and or projection method. This put the lighting onus back on the more controllable models. His ideas worked fabulously, and Harryhausen was catapulted to the fore in the eyes of fantasy and sci-fi filmgoers. Harryhausen had showcased his ideas in Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, where he used live-action footage with split foreground and background elements as two of the three layers, adding his model animation in the middle so that it fit into the real world. Another of Harryhausen's obsessions, once moving to color, was experimenting with film stops and emulsions to try to tame the changes in contrast, saturation, and color balance that inevitably crept into the process shots. Today we might call Ray a film hacker. He loved the craft and artistry, but he also loved the technology and pushing it forward, a seed clearly planted in him by his mentor Willis O'Brien. An interesting tidbit that is often overlooked is that Harryhausen's prime machinist for much of his armature and rigging up until 1973 was his own father. He also turned those flying saucers for Earth versus the Flying Saucers out of wood on a lathe, and his mother handled any miniature costuming Ray required. The Harryhausen family was a one-stop shop for model animation. Harryhausen worked with O'Brien again on a dinosaur short for Irwin Allen's Animal World and on Valley of the Guanji, an underrated gem. He had a string of successes and sometimes hits in 1950's The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, a summer box office smash and his first big color film, 1957's 20 Million Miles to Earth, 1960's The Three Worlds of Gulliver, 1961's The Mysterious Island, and then Jason the Argonauts in 1963, a film whose iconic live-action and stop-motion mixed battle with humans and skeletons is still spoken of with reverence to this day. And it was all done by one man, a lot of skill and 4 months' time. The 60s were okay times. First Men in the Moon was kind of a dud, but 1 million years BC did well. Then Guanji was lost in marketing missteps. In the early 70s, he put his energies into a book, film fantasy scrapbook. And then, in the mid-70s, something wonderful happened. Sinbad and Harryhausen's animation returned for two more films, which did well at the box office. This led not long after to Ray's final and probably best-known film, 1981's Clash of the Titans. Fans of Harryhausen and those who'd never heard of him shelled out $41 million to watch gods and monsters fight. It's hailed as a fantasy classic on several lists. Ray retired after Force of the Trojans, a sequel, was passed on, but didn't stop doing what he loved. In 2002, with the help of two animators and fans, a short, The Story of the Tortoise and the Hare, that Harryhausen had started in 1952, was completed and won the 2003 Annie for Short Films. Ray Harryhausen left us this year, a week ago as I write this, but his legend and his work will undoubtedly live on long afterwards. He was inducted in the Science Fiction Hall of Fame in 2005, received a star on the Walk of Fame in 2003, and through the seeming magic of Phi Phenomenon, all that bunk about persistence of vision they fed you in film school is wrong. Ray gave us movie magic that will last forever, or at least until the Kraken is unleashed. Ray Harryhausen, a master of his craft and a true sci-fi idol. This has been Sci-Fi Idols with your host Maggie McPhee. You can find us online at scifiidols.com. Music provided by Kevin MacLeod.